I've been sitting here thinking about all the things you do for me, how you make me feel. But wondering if it's the same for you, but when you're not around, I lose my mind, 'cause you keep it like a secret. Why won't you? Just please tell me that you feel it too. Tell me we're in this for two. Tell me that you really care for me.
To everywhere on this planet, so grateful and so much gratitude to be able to have the opportunity to spend almost a full hour sharing some exciting information. This show is brought to you by In God You Trust, and we're here to discuss the topics of navigating the law, wealth, commerce, and the sea of change that is upon us. And that is probably going to be the topic of the day. And also, for all of you that are listening in, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day or your evening or your morning, wherever you are listening in from, to have this chance to share, because we're all humans, we're all people, we're all man and woman here to share in the experience of life. And Lord knows it's been an interesting time in our lives. So some of the topics that we're going to cover in the following weeks are private trusts and estate planning, civic law, and statutory versus non-statutory law, public versus private jurisdictions, money, debt, credit, negotiable instruments, legal terms and definitions, the U.S. codes for those people here domestically, and commercial or commerce competency. So we hope that in the next hour that we can at least empower you to look at things maybe a little bit differently than you have before. Not that you're not already doing that, but I'm going to give you a little background on myself, which is something I don't necessarily like to do, but for people who don't know myself, I go by Kevin. I'm a man. I live on the land. I have been an entrepreneur for most of my life. And I've been claimed to be a disruptor. And, you know, I don't know what that term means to you, but I was the kid that always talked in class. I was the kid that always got in trouble. But I also found out that I was a leader and I like to help people, you know, move their lives forward. So in the last 30 years, I've been involved mostly in the telecommunications industry. And I was very fortunate to align myself with a 91-year-old man when I was just 28 years old. And we formed a new business out of the Washington State area called Network Communications. And we pioneered at that time alternative long-distance dialing. And the phone companies back then, for those people who are old enough to remember, we used to actually have to pay for long-distance calls. And at that time, the monopoly was broken up by Judge Green in 1984, and that opened up competition for people to get in and compete against these multi-billion dollar national and international telecommunications companies. To say it was an interesting ride would be an understatement, but let's just say that the concept was to flip the switch upside down and help the consumer as an advocate company by using a system called prepay as a way to dial around the expensive cost of the telecom space at the time. This is before the internet and dial-up internet and all that. This was just basic long-distance services. So I didn't have any experience in that, but nobody did. So we got in, and this awesome man who funded the business allowed us to go and be very creative. And within a year, we built a little business of about $6 million. And I realized that this was something that I liked because I love people. And people are dependent upon telecommunication services and now the internet and, you know, their phones to be able to talk to people, their family, friends, businesses, and all the things that we do when we use telecommunications. So that broadened my mind and started thinking, you know, if I could do this regionally, why not do this almost like on either a national basis or hopefully maybe even international. And connected with some people out of the Silicon Valley, out of Mountain View, California. And we formed a company called World Telecom Group. And that business was a technology business where we bought the servers and the systems and the switches. And then we formed a marketing called Amerivox, which was the first prepaid phone card company or product in the United States. Had no idea what was going to happen with that other than I was just willing to get in that airplane and strap those airplane wings on while I was flying. And what I realized was that people were fed up in dealing with the big corporations, and they wanted to find some alternatives. So that is exactly what we did. And the idea of taking air, literally time, out of the sky and putting it on a piece of plastic and then giving it an opportunity for somebody to purchase that card was a new idea. And I love the idea of helping people see something that didn't exist before. That's just what we do, right, as disruptors or entrepreneurs, because we get programmed by these big corporations and all their marketing and everything to just see things through their optics and all their advertising dollars. But there's different phases of adoption, right? So the earlier adopters are the risk takers, and then you have the latecomers, and then the people that are just forced to eventually adopt these types of products. But I got to get out into the streets. I set up offices in almost every state in the United States over 10 years. And we had millions of customers using prepaid phone cards. And that branched off into different things like fundraising and, you know, commercial accounts. We did stuff with McDonald's and Hershey's and then sports teams. And I realized that at the core of everything is communications. And people are willing to actually look at different ways to pay for those things. So anyway, what happened to me, I did not come from a wealthy family. I didn't go to an Ivy League school. I was just somebody that got in and got gritty and just went for it. And I was excited about the promise of the future. So when you are excited about something that can give you some something to be creative with, you know, your inside DNA and all of that energy that you have capable comes out. And so if anything that I can say for all of you out there today is don't let anybody point you or force you into a corner. You have wings. You have God inside of you. You have DNA that is so full of information and energy, and you just have to let yourself tap into that. So the reason I'm sharing that with you is because ultimately what happened was as the business became successful, and again, I didn't have a true comprehension of how the whole monetary system worked. I didn't come out of that background, but I knew how to make money and I knew how to build a business and lead a group of people towards something. So when I decided to write myself my first check to give myself some money back instead of investing it all in, I handed the keys over to an accountant to do my taxes. And so I think the check was $1,070,000 or something like that. And I was living in Newport Beach at the time and didn't have any dependents, wasn't owning any real estate. I was just traveling around living in hotels. And I remember he called me back and he said, okay, your tax paperwork's done. And I said, cool. I said, so what's the end result? He said, well, you're going to owe about $480,000, both to the state of California and to the federal government. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. I give myself a check for $1,000,000, and now these governments show up and now they want half because I got a paycheck. And this man wasn't just your average CPA. He said, well, Kevin, do you know who you are? And I'm like, well, I'm sure, I guess. I mean, I'm a guy. He goes, well, tell me who you truly are. And so it was a trick question. And he goes, well, who are you in this world of commerce? And I said, well, I'm a businessman, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm just somebody that's trying to be the best I can for the customers and for our economy. So I can make some money, take care of my family and help other people do it and save some money for a whole bunch of people. He goes, you're missing the point. So when people ask you questions like that that are so far off base in terms of where your mind share is, you actually put you back on your heels and you're like, okay, well, what is the deeper message here? So this guy was... His name was Don, and he was esoteric. He was a fabulous man, but he gave me the opportunity for me to finally listen or see something that didn't exist that I didn't know about before. And I went to a basic university. I wasn't a very good student, honestly. I dodged as many classes as I could because I just didn't feel like it was something that I don't know. It was just, it was something inside of me, and I was more into athletics than I was studying. But then I got into the real world and I started realizing, well, wait a minute, everything revolves around this concept of money. And I guess I don't even know what the heck money is. So he handed me a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. And I'm trying to remember what year that was, but it was a while ago. And it was a big, fat book written by an author by the name of G. Edward Griffin. And G. Edward Griffin is a very smart man. If you look him up, he was exposing the whole banking system and the monetary system even back as far as the 50s. And so after I read that book, I'm like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean there's no money in our monetary system? What is this concept of tax? So as my mind started to expand and my frustrations grew about my own like ability to see what was going on, I realized that there was a whole other world, literally like a parallel universe going on right in front of me. And so to be fair, a lot of you maybe have either gone through some of this discovery for yourselves, or you're just hearing about this for the first time, you know, with me, just an average guy talking about this. But the point is I thought that I was looking through like this double-sided mirror. And I kept saying, well, who is that guy looking back at me? And then what's the guy on the other side of the mirror? And these universes are hiding right in plain sight. And so that's why we have these allegory movies called like The Matrix. You know, I mean, I go on and on, right? Hollywood has given plenty of opportunity for you to see that there is a different world going on. And we don't have to go into all the dark stuff, but I will say that it kind of darkens your heart when you realize that you were not necessarily told the truth pretty much about everything. And that's my opinion. I don't want to put that upon you, but my opinion was there's a whole bunch of things that I need to go find out so that I can become better at who I am as a man and provide better opportunities for my family and be more prepared. Because once I started reading some of these books, because it's before the internet per se, I was actually shocked. So the concept of tax, just to be candid, I'm not a tax advisor. I'm not here to give legal advice, financial advice. I'm just a man who likes to be productive, happy, and I like to look back in my life and said I did something profound. That's it. So don't take any of my information as advice for you, please. I'm not a registered agent of any public corporation or any government agency. And so this is for entertainment purposes only, nudge, nudge. Anyway, so tax is something that everybody feels like they have to do, that they do every single day. And if they don't do it, what is your natural thought? Fear, right? Is the big bad wolf that if you don't comply to the world of tax, that you can be either fined or you can even go as far as being put in prison. And in many cases, some people have experienced just the loss of life over the whole issue of tax, because it is a cost of not knowing who you are, basically. That's the way I would say it now that I have been able to rummage through a lot of my experiences and some of the roads that I've taken, which were not always correct. So tax is the cost of, in this case, in our monetary system, of using a private business's property, which happens to be a company called the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is not a federal corporate or a federal agency of a government. It is a private for-profit corporation that manages the financial affairs of another company. And that company is called the United States. So the United States was and is still the United States of America. And here we go into some of this, you know, binary code, so to speak. So when you realize that 95%+ of the American population, and the rest of the world too, by the way, because most every country is controlled by the same banking system, we are put into a situation where we're more or less leveraged for our labor and our time and even our intellectual property as a product for them to consume as human resources. So human resources or human capital is what the system looks at us as. And why is it us, or the, you know, let's call ourselves the property? Well, there's a there's a process that happens, and it really was in this country. It happened in 1863 under the 13th Amendment and then the 14th Amendment under 1871, when we went from a de jure common law government of the people to a corporation. And that was done through sleight of hand. And the sleight of hand was, so the bankruptcy that ensued was because the North in the United States had to borrow some money from the French and the British. And this was all based on the Civil War, right? And the Civil War, as far as we were told in our textbooks, was all based on the emancipation of the slaves. And we could go on and on and on. See, the history books tell you what the story is for them to want you to know. And that's why it's called his story. But when you find out there was a much deeper topic that was going on during the Civil War, what happened was when it came to winning the war needed to be won by the North, because there was fear that the South was actually looking to create its own treasury. Now this gets back to the whole concept of money or lawful money. So when you study your history, if you can, and do it, and not just research, but investigate these things, look into what money is, not just the concept of money, but what lawful money is. Gold, silver, you know, commodities, oil, water, food, lumber. You know, those are tangible items that have limited resources. The money that we're currently using was based on those events that happened back in the 1800s, and then essentially it was all pushed through in 1933 under HJR 192, House Joint Resolution 192. We were converted from natural people, natural man and woman at that point, to what was called persons or U.S. citizens. So a citizen who's sitting in sin is then obligated to the debt of the bankruptcy. Well, do you all or have you all studied bankruptcy law? Most people don't. Most people avoid bankruptcy, the term or the concept, because it means failure or it means you're at the end. You know, it's a hard pill to swallow. Well, you see, the people who've been running the systems of the world for thousands of years know how these things work because they're the ones who created them. So if you're intending on having any kind of distinct advantage in your life, you better have an advantage by knowing how the game is being played upon you, period. And if you think that they care about your emotions and how you feel about all these things, it's not even a they, it's a system. And a system is a fiction. But the system is representing itself by some people who are controlling the banking system and all the monetary systems, because when you can control the money you can supply, you can control the people, as you know. So I don't like feeling like I can be controlled. It's just my natural ability. It's like it kind of ticks me off. And I don't like to be told what to do. I just want to be left alone. Well, that's really God's law, right? God's law is just don't harm people. Be nice. Don't lie. Don't cheat. You know, don't steal. Well, statutory law, everybody in this country and most other countries, took over. And it was based on the legal system. Right? The system. So the system is based on literally millions and millions of statutes and codes. And it's actually illegal to operate within a legal system in the lawful capacity, because the almighty power of our almighty is based on the principalities of divine law and love. And the statutory law is based on systems and codes. And you can violate any one of those at any given time. And that becomes a commercial transaction or a commercial charge. So there is a very distinct difference between a commercial jurisdiction and a non-statutory or a divine or a common jurisdiction. So there's 5 days of you know, my ability or my knowledge to go on and on and talk about this. But I wanted to at least set the precedent, so because we're going to be talking about some of these things with a very special guest that I'm going to be bringing on here very shortly. But before I do, I just want to say, primarily, realize that the face and the name on your birth certificate, on your driver's license, on that social security card is not you. And I missed a step in my last part of my conversation, but realize that in 1933, the birth certificate protocol was put in place because they wanted to record the newborns in the hospitals and recreate them as papier-mâché dolls called chattel property, children. And so they used the power of the commercial contract to induce a mother or father to pledge their property, the baby, the little living, you know, boy or girl, over to the state in exchange for what? The title of U.S. citizen or citizen of Germany or citizen of Australia or citizen of Brazil. And at that point, your natural essence was replaced with paper. So that's not a very comfortable feeling, but if you think about it for a second, we always represent ourselves as the identity on these, quote, official documents. Well, that's not official. That's official because you volunteered to let that be official. How can a piece of paper be the authority over you? Well, that's where we get trapped. And so our society at this point in 2024, if we are right now living in a generational curse, and the generational curse is based on generations of people who have been lost in their way as knowing who they truly are based on the true history and who we come from and where we come from. And so when those generations start to repeat themselves, next thing you know, you're copying mom and dad, and then you're copying grandma and grandpa, and then they're copying mom and dad, and they're copying. All of a sudden, that's all you know, because you don't question things, because they have driven you into these school systems where they program your mind to believe that this is how it works. Well, that's how they set it up for you to believe how it works. And I know it sounds a little, complicated or a little bit, wonky, but that's okay. This is a self-discovery opportunity. And part of the reason I wanted to be on this show is because I need to get this information out the best I can as just a regular man. And there's a lot of other people doing this too, but I want to have an impact on this planet. And I want to have an impact so that you can have an impact and all of us can, cohesively work as a society of people who recognize who they are. We're living in a system of identity crisis that is it's so huge. People have no idea. So again, when I went back to that man, when I first wrote myself that check and he said, "Who are you, Kevin?" And now here I am, 35, 40 years later, looking back thinking, man, that man exactly knew what he was talking about. But I had to go through my own processes to get there. So we're going to talk now with this very special guest. Let's just call him Man. And the man is going to share some stuff with us as well. He's an amazing individual. He is somebody that I recognize and who I have learned so much from myself. Just when you think you know enough, you're like, wait a minute. I don't know nearly enough, and I'm super excited to have Man. And we're going to probably have a few questions and answers if we have some time here, even the latter part of the show. But thank you for everybody for listening to me rant a little bit about that and a little bit of a setup. So, okay, greetings, Man. How are you today?
Greetings. I'm grateful. How are you?
Oh, I'm very grateful. I'm grateful. You sound so, you're a very important man. You sound very important right now. Hey,
I was actually listening to you then with a wonderful story you have shared. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Grateful. Well, Mr. Man, so here's what I'm going to do.
No,
I'm
going to
ask. No, Mr. Correct. See, I'm going to be corrected. Yes. I want to go ahead and ask him some questions that I think are relevant to the topic. And first thing I want to talk a little bit about, and this is something that I touched on, was what we have on those, quote, pieces of plastic and paper and, those things that we, quote, identify with. Most all of it comes back to this thing called a name, right? A name. Mm-hmm. What is name? So can you talk a little bit about what the name or a name truly is in truth?
It will be my pleasure. So what is your name?
What is my name? What is not my name?
And if anyone asks you, let's say you have not met me yet, what's your name?
Oh, my name's Kevin.
Okay. And then what would you say after that?
What is your name?
I don't have one.
Hmm.
And then it's my answer. You may call me man or anything that I be like that day or in that moment. Maybe a banana. So you can call me what I feel like being called, because I am that I am. So, however, I do not have a name. You can call me man, but that's not my name. That is the correct answer, especially in commerce. I'll take you through that and help you see it the way I see it. I hope I can. So here we are. We will go to this online etymology dictionary. Now, before I talk about etymology, I must state or speak that Americans have not been taught English. Period. So, can you may want to prove it yourself. Take a look at any English dictionary or any book that you have been thinking that it was a dictionary. Look at the cover of it. It will say American slang dictionary. So that's why, in order to comprehend English words, Americans must rely upon or look at etymology dictionary. So here is one that I usually look up online, which is etym online. And etymonline.com, if you pull up the word name, it's the noun. And interestingly enough, the first phrase that is written there in quotation mark, it says word by which a person or thing is denoted. Now, how do we comprehend this? Because we have to also comprehend it in the context of commerce. So, or saying word by which a person or thing is denoted. I right away know that I'm not a thing to have a name. So what about this person? Well, let's do a little investigation on that. What is a person? Remember the legal context. So a legal person refers to any entity that the law recognizes as having its own privileges. Most common kind of the person in the legal system is the corporation. Perhaps the United States is the best example of a person. McDonald's is a person. Chase Bank is a person. But I am not a person. If you also investigate it further, a natural person is distinctly different from a person. And a natural person is a human being with rights and responsibilities recognized under the law. So, now we know that there are two creatures running around in commerce. One is called the person. And person is really not running around because it's a fictional entity and it cannot move around or speak. That's why it needs a natural person to represent it. So, who is this natural person? Well, it says here in 1 U.S.C. 1, that it's a human being. So if it is actually not exactly in 1 U.S.C. 1, but in one of the codes, I will provide that later. So The thing is that human being. Now, who created a human being? Kevin, can you answer who created a human being?
Well, if I was not down the road a little bit, I would think that the human being was created by my parents and God.
Right. And I agree here that that was your previous knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So in the new, recently gained knowledge, who is the human being?
So the human is the color of man, which is not
there
actually.
You go. That's right. Mm-hmm. You are right. And it is also a construct of the legal system. Man, who is created by the Most High, the Almighty Creator, cannot enter commerce, not because he is incapable of anything. No, it is because he is not inferior as commerce. He is the creator of government. Man is created by the Most High. Man creates government. Governments don't control man. Man controls government, just like the Almighty Creator controls man as his or her creation, just like that. And we cannot see the Almighty, just like that. The friction, commerce, and its agents cannot see the man. So inside commerce, there is a natural person who is a hue of man, color of man, like you have said.
Mm-hmm.
And if a legal construct, so he is granted rights, and with rights come obligations, duty. Now, this person that we have learned about, which only has privileges, because it is not a natural person, is the other party in that definition, that etymological definition. The second party and the first was gained. So in person, anything can have a name, according to English language rules. So then why would I, man, have a name? I don't. That's why the name is used as an anchor in the legal context. And that's why any agent or a court needs a name from you to acknowledge you, to qualify you as one of their subjects. As soon as you answer that name question, now they can proceed further. If you don't give them that anchor, they are going to try different things. But if you are a competent man, he will walk out of that situation with a big grin on your face.
So, man, if you don't mind me asking a couple questions, because this is very fascinating, and hopefully it's helping other man and woman out there to realize that we have a prism that we've been looking through, and our reality and the duality of the way that we have been positioned to observe ourselves is part of the process of unpacking the lies, or at least the myths that were bestowed upon us with years of programming, disinformation. We call it education, but really it's indoctrination into a concept of misperceiving, right, our true nature. And so this is profound information, man. And we're not, are we a body? Do we have a body?
A man does.
A man has a body, okay. But no body.
In commerce, the you of man, human natural person, doesn't have a body. It can move. It can speak. The colony has one of their subjects. That's why a natural person has one established. Once this person changes its default status of a minor to a competent man by taking specific actions accurately, then this natural person gains human rights, constitutional rights, civil rights, and consumer rights. But there are duties attached to each types of rights.
So, in this construct or this context, man, we have been placed in an upside down world, and it's our duty as from the high, the most high, to ask enough questions and start pursuing the truth so that we can get back to our true nature, which is what I'm hearing from you, which is the way you get back to your rights is to correct the wrongs that were put in place to keep you as a subject and as a property of a fictional construct called a corporation. And a corporation or a corpse is a civilly dead entity, right? We talked about the person being McDonald's franchise or United States as a person.
Correct.
But we use this etymology, these words that actually facilitate these contracts, right? So if we keep saying, I know this person, we're not really saying that's a man. We're saying that's a subject over there, right?
Absolute.
So how do we then, besides what you've just said, which again is profound, we need to go and reestablish what steps, how do we get back to who we are? How do we navigate that system of chaos that is right in front of us every single day?
Right.
Yes.
So one thing, Kevin, is that first option would be to live with the ultimate freedom that man is created
well,
with.
We may have lost him for a second. See if he can come back on.
Can you hear me?
You know, there are people listening to this call.
Man.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we lost you for a minute. So if you could repeat that would be great. Yeah, thank you.
Sure. So the first option would be if you just want to live with the ultimate freedom that you have been created with by your creator. And for doing that, there's not much you need to do. There are series of adhesion contracts that a man has signed under, call it fraud or lack of knowledge and lack of competency of the legal system, just avoid them by sending a notice and start maintaining your life without using any of the services that are provided. Adhesion contracts, common examples of the adhesion contract are voter's registration, driver's license, car registration, insurance, marriage license. That's a big one. But we don't have enough time to get into that, et cetera, and et cetera. But those are the main ones. One must rescind and revoke. However, my advice always is first prepare yourself, empowering yourself with the competency that is necessary for you to lead your life peacefully and with the ultimate freedom that you have been commuted with and live happily hereafter. Now, if you want to continue to interact in commerce after gaining that freedom, then you also have to do additional things for your person and the natural person. many are taught wrongly that there is a person, and then they jump all the way to the living man who was created by the Most High. That's not true, and that's why it will never help those who still think that way. The correct way, if you or anyone wants to success, is, or succeed, I mean, you must comprehend that there is a person, and a natural person in common. So once you begin controlling those entities in commerce, that's when you create the scenario for self called control everything, own nothing. And that applies to your legal immunities, to financial immunity. A man would never pay a penny in taxes. But if you have already in the past paid taxes, then there is a contract in place. So that must be legally revoked, and your signature must be rescinded from it properly. It's not a rocket science, but this must take place. And don't imagine that it has taken place unless you have received the acknowledgement of the devils that charge a man those taxes. Charging taxes is a crime against mankind.
Yes. So, and I'm going to apologize in advance for a lot of the listeners, because he obviously we're talking through a system where a voice has been, let's just call it, altered a little bit for very specific reasons. But hopefully you're getting the essence of what man is sharing with you. And I'm here to not necessarily clarify, because he's very clear in my mind, and I have a meeting of the minds with this man all the time. But if I can reaffirm to all of you out there, is that what he is sharing, let's talk about the taxes. Because everything is based on a volunteer basis, right? So when you first filled out your first tax form, if you were 18 or 19 or whatever year you started in working in the commercial world, and you were convinced that you should sign those documents, even though I promise you most all of you never read the fine print, because that's just why they can hide everything in it. So you elected, that's the key word, you elected to become a taxpayer. You told them, I will exchange my you know, man rights, my rights that I was born with from my Almighty, in exchange for the privileges, and the fee for those privileges is the tax. So all the people in the middle that are playing a role in this collection agency game are serving in a small box for their own self-service and for their own self-preservation, because that's what they were taught, right? So the system was very good in creating these agencies or these networks of linear supply chains where everybody had a role in not disclosing the full truth about what it meant to be a taxpayer. And so what man was saying for all of you is that you have the right, the legal lawful right, to go rescind your original autograph or that signature off that document and revoke that election to be a taxpayer.
All right.
Okay.
See, Penn 40 Farm, that many are familiar with, is a contract. And each year when someone files it, it reaffirms that contract. Also, if you read the tax code, it's written there that it's a voluntary gift to the queen. Who is this queen? Has America ever seen a queen on this land? So then who is this queen, and who are you sending your darn hard-earned money to? This queen of England, that's who she is.
So what you're sharing is that the tax dollars that Americans, for example, think that is going to, you know, our domestic needs is actually heading overseas and going to the Queen of England.
Three of the facts go to confirm that, of course. But what I said is based on my own research.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of etymology, man, when you get into the weeds of words, words have more meanings than people think. And we are taught, like you said, the English language, which isn't even English. So when we're referring to things that we do in commerce, like I'm going to register my car, register means to regis, right? To hand it over to the crown.
Yes.
So what I think is my property by going and following, you know, what other people do and what I feel like I have to do to be compliant, what I'm doing is essentially handing back the keys to that private property, let's call it an automobile at this point, to the state, wherever I'm living, through the registration process, which is based on the term to regis, right, to recapture. And we register for all kinds of things. So when you're registering to vote as a person, do you really have any rights to vote if you're really not a man? Does a civilly dead entity, can a civilly dead entity actually vote?
No, and I will give you the citations for it. So let's look at minor definition, the definition for the word minor. An infant or her son who is under the age of legal competence, who is under the age of legal competence, Black's Law Dictionary, second edition. Now let's look at minor in the Code of Federal Regulations on the United States Corporation. 31 CFR, section 353.6. Minor means an individual under the age of 18 years. The term minor is also used to refer to an individual who has attained the age of 18 years but has not yet taken control of the securities contained in his or her minor account. So far, we have learned this much, that something needs to be done about correcting these types of presumptions. Now, in summary, a legal person is an entity which is recognized by law of having some sort of privileges or even limited rights, which can be taken away anytime. So this is the person. Now, this person is by default a minor unless he has grown up, learned to become fully competent so he can take control of their securities in their birth estate. So, let's see, can an incompetent person enter any contract? So they're contrary. If you look that up, it says that an incompetent person's contracts are invalid and void. They don't stand in commerce. So, as a minor, anything that you are doing is basically a privilege that has been granted to you, and they can take it away anytime.
So most people that are rummaging around in our countries, our corporations, don't realize that this entire construct is based on a fraud. And that's
consent. And you see Prius,
correct. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the world right now, which is going into more chaos, right? And this is done for a reason. But there are many people like us thanks to people like you who are going out and sharing this highly valuable, I don't even want to call it information, let's call it formation. Because when you form the truth, you're coming back to the source, and the purpose of our lives is not to be a subject or a slave. It's to live free and unencumbered. And we have been more or less captured through paper mache dolls, through the paper contracts. And I do want to step back and say one thing, because maybe I'm not sure if people pick this up. So when we're born, there's actually two birth dates. There's the date that you come in out of your mom's water, and that you take your first breath, and you are here. And, you know, you came from the Almighty, and you were born with purpose, love, flesh and blood. And then that was when there was an exchange made based on the commercial contract. At that point, you were then handed to the state, and the state means another company who recreated you into this fictional aspect of it. But this gets back to the essence of what this show is all about, which is the world of trust law, right? So what is trust law? How many people, you know, listening in right now all over the world have spent, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years studying trust law? Very few people do. Because if you know how trust law works, both on the private and the public side, this game would have been over a long time ago.
Yes.
So, for example, if the United States of America was recreated as the United States, as a bankrupt nation that became a corporation, and they brought in a substitute teacher for that class called an alternative company that maybe was called the East India Trading Company. I'm not sure. I think so. And then they changed the name of that company to be the creditor of this bankruptcy to the United States, omitting of America.
Accurate.
Okay. Then, so that was a trust. All bankruptcies, when they're created, are okay. But we have 3 minutes, everybody, so we're going to get this cranked out fast. So that trust, at that point, we were then created as beneficiaries. And so what name was saying, or man, was that you are a beneficiary of a trust, and you have securities waiting for you to secure. And those are the securities that you deserve on your birthrights. So I just want you to know that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Hey, if you want more information, and we have lots to share with you, we have the entire blueprint on how to help yourself correct back to who you were, get a hold of me. You can go to ingodyoutrust.org. That's ingodyoutrust.org. There's a phone number. You can watch some videos. The outset of that is we talk about estate planning, but what I'm talking about here today with my dear friend, man, is we have a much bigger opportunity for you to discover, you know, the energy, the power, and the ability for you to correct so many things that were not necessarily done for your behalf. Anyway, man, thank you so much for your time today. Again, I know that his voice may have sounded a little indifferent, but that's okay. Hopefully you can still interpret what he was saying and comprehend this. We are very grateful for your attendance, for your time, for your ability to listen and take this information in and use the energy that you have inside of you to really manifest what it is you want. And be grateful. And, you know, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to share with you this
information. My pleasure. And gratitude to the entire mankind that's listening to this. I wish you all the best, peace and love.
Gratitude, man. Thank you. We hope to have you back on more shows in the future. And we look forward to, if you wish, we have what's called a private member association. We can talk about that when you make contact to myself. And we are looking forward to the next show, which will be in 2 weeks from now, Sunday, same time, same place. That's right. This is In God You Trust. Thank you, everybody, for attending tonight's and today's beautiful radio show. We are very grateful. Have a splendid next couple of days.
Around, I lose my mind, girl.
like a secret. Why won't you?